This is the Rusk Report, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Brian Rusk.
Welcome to the Rusk Report on the Bet AM 1520. We have a well-known author who hails from Western New York with us back by popular demand, Chip Maurice L. Nalon IV. He's a CPA. And the book is The Investor's Guide to Real Estate Finance, Accounting, and Tax. And I'd like to tell you a little bit about Chip Nalon. He spent over 15 years investing in real estate, buying, selling, managing, and developing properties along the way. He founded his firm, Walutz Capital, as a vehicle to translate his knowledge and experience into real estate development, asset management, and accounting services for others. Broadly speaking, his firm focuses on two areas, his own development work and consulting services for others. He recently published a book to support anyone interested in real estate. That's what we're talking about today, The Investor's Guide to Real Estate Finance and Accounting and Tax, a journey from first homes to multifamily developments. He also is the son of Mo Nalon, who's a top finance person in Western New York. Chip Nalon, our guest today. Let's talk about what is significant in your book, The Investor's Guide to Real Estate, Finance, Accounting, and Tax. Chip Nalon.
Brian, thanks so much for having me on the show again. It's always great being back. And the significance, I think it helps to start with my background in real estate. Prior to my civilian career in the real estate world, I spent 9 years in the Marine Corps. During that time, used a VA loan to buy a home, ended up renting it out, and kind of became an accidental landlord. And I made a ton of mistakes along the way. And as I got into real estate in a professional capacity, I realized that a lot of practitioners keep it mysterious when it really doesn't need to be. So what I wanted to do is take the nexus of my time as an investor, a developer, and a CPA, and eliminate a lot of the mystery around building wealth with real estate, because I think it's an option open to a lot of people that they don't realize they have. And hopefully my book breaks down into very digestible steps how to build wealth with real estate, starting from buying your own home all the way up to developing multifamily properties.
Well, that leads us to the next question, and that's the difference between owning a single home for one family or one person and multifamily developments that could have 10 or 20 different units. Talk about the difference and how you can handle it financially and grow and make sure your assets are worth a lot more.
Yeah, I think it helps to divide real estate into two categories. On one side, you have your primary residence, which a lot of us are familiar with. And on the other side, you have investment properties. So properties generating rental income that the IRS considers a business. Personally, I'm a believer in getting your foot in the door, and pending local market considerations, what individuals can do buying their own home is, rather than paying rent and paying down someone else's mortgage, they begin to build equity or ownership in their own home. So they replace those rent payments with mortgage payments, which when analyzed correctly and factoring in additional maintenance and other costs with owning your own home, begins to build wealth. That wealth then ultimately opens the door to translating your focus into investment real estate, where you are putting your capital, your cash, into properties that you don't live in that generate rental income and build wealth slightly different ways than owning your own home. So when you own your own home, you're really building wealth in two ways: by property appreciation, so the long-term increase in value in your home, which occurs in fits and starts, but looking at national level trends, occurs slightly outpacing inflation. But the other way that you build wealth with your own home is loan amortization, the fancy way of saying you pay down your mortgage balance every month. So every month you make a loan payment, a portion of that reduces the loan that you owe to the bank or the lender. and by extension, increases your equity or ownership in that home. So those are really the two ways that you build wealth owning your own home. When you look at investment property, those two elements still apply. So if you own a rental, whether it's a single family home or a 100-unit apartment building, you build wealth by the appreciation of that property over time and by paying down your loan balance. But you also gain two other elements of wealth building with that investment or rental property, regardless of the size or scale of that building. The first is the cash flow from tenants. So you have tenants, and this doesn't matter whether it's a warehouse or a single family home or apartment building. Somebody is paying you rent to live in that place. The bulk of that rent payment is going to paying your debt service and your operating expenses. But the difference on top is extra cash flow that you have to continue investing in other properties and other wealth building activities. And then the fourth way that owning a rental property, regardless of the type of asset, builds wealth is through the value of depreciation. So the tax benefit of being able to reduce your taxable income with something that I call a non-cash expense. So depreciation lowers your taxable income on your rental property every year without an associated outflow of cash. It just has to do with the basis of the improvements or the home itself, not the land, of your property. And a portion of that can be deducted against your taxable income every year. So I refer to the gold standard of a rental property is something that is cash flow positive, where you're bringing in extra cash every month and taking a taxable loss. So not reporting taxable income because of that benefit of depreciation. So those are sort of the, in big picture terms, the difference between owning your own home and owning a rental property, investment property, regardless of what type of asset that is.
Now, if someone listening in Buffalo or Virginia or Montreal is interested in getting this book, The Investor's Guide to Real Estate Finance, Accounting, and Tax by our guest today, the author, Chip Nalon, how can people do that?
The best bet is on Amazon. You can either get a paperback, or if you prefer the Kindle approach, you can either buy a Kindle copy to read electronically, or if you're a member of Kindle Unlimited, you can, for the time being, purchase a copy for free by being a subscriber to Kindle Unlimited.
Very good. For those who have just tuned in, our guest today is Maurice Chip Nalon. He was on this program when we talked about his first book, The New Ministry of Truth, Combat Advisors in Afghanistan and America's Great Betrayal. Now we're talking about his new book, available on Amazon, The Investor's Guide to Real Estate Finance, Accounting, and Tax. Our guest today, Chip Nalon. If you're listening in Cheektowaga, New York, Toronto, or Manhattan, drop us a note. We'd like to hear from you. Please write to Brian Rusk, Bet AM 1520, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Buffalo, New York, 14226. We always greet cards and letters from our Canadian and European listeners, as this station has received letters as far away as Scandinavia and New Zealand. I'd like to thank those who've called regarding our recent guest on the Canadian Racing Hall of Fame, Rick Platt, who's in charge of an Ohio Port Authority, and David Black on voting integrity. In the coming weeks, we have two famous other authors coming on, Lawrence Lehmer, and he has a new book coming out on the mistresses of John F. Kennedy, and Charles Todd with the Ian Rutledge series of mysteries. Little plug here, this holiday season, share your heritage with your children and grandchildren. Give them a digital subscription to the AMPO Legal. Each week, they'll receive by mail a digital version of the Polish American weekly newspaper. The newspaper contains news, features, recipes, and a cultural grab bag from Polonia's only weekly publication. A new digital gift subscription to the AMPO Legal is only $15 for 52 issues. Order online at ampolegal.com and click subscribe at the top of the page, or one can call 716-835-9454. That's 716-835-9454. and share your heritage with the next generation of Polish Americans. Some more background information, and Chip Nalon is the guest of Mo Nalon, who's been on this program recently. Chip grew up in Buffalo, New York. After graduating from Canisius High School, he attended the U.S. Naval Academy. From Annapolis, he commissioned into the Marine Corps and spent 9 years serving as an infantry officer, deploying to Okinawa, Republic of Georgia, and Afghanistan. Following his Afghan deployment, Chip published his first book, The Ministry of Truth, Combat Advisors in Afghanistan and America's Great Betrayal. Our guest today on the Rusk Report on the Bet AM 1520. I was wondering how interest rates play into this. They're high, around 6%. 10 years ago, they were around 3.5%. So how does this work into one wanting to buy a first home or one getting into multifamily developments? Let's talk about that, Chip Nalon.
Great question, Brian. You can't divorce real estate from interest rates unless you're in a position where you're just buying something cash, which most of us aren't. Interest rates for rental properties and primary residences, the higher the interest rate, the more money typically you have to put down because it's increasing your monthly payment with the higher interest rate. In theory, the higher the interest rates, the less Americans can afford. And once again, in theory, that should have broad market effects on gradually lowering valuations. But we're not really seeing that right now. And I think a large part of that has to do with we just don't have enough homes in the United States between the issues we never really recovered from our loss of skilled construction labor following the Great Recession. So construction labors are extremely high. Construction materials costs are extremely high, and land costs are extremely high. So unfortunately, the idea of a new starter home doesn't really work because a builder can't really build a starter home and price it at starter prices. It's just too expensive. Now, looking at interest rates more specifically, and I got a lot of questions from clients who are looking to buy their first home of, hey, Chip, should I wait? Should I wait for interest rates to go down? And it's kind of a goofy analogy, but I liken it to the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is today. With real estate, I see it similarly. Trying to judge rates, I think, is kind of a fool's errand. And the way I look at it is if you buy now and rates go down, then you refinance and take advantage of the lower rates. If you buy now and rates go up, then you feel great about yourself because you're locked in on a low rate. So yes, rates absolutely matter with affordability, but timing rates, I think, leads to a level of analysis paralysis that hurts a lot of first-time home buyers.
Now let's talk about looking to use real estate as a practical path to financial freedom. We can talk about first homes, and we can talk about multifamily developments. How does this lead to financial freedom for people who want to buy the book, The Investor's Guide to Real Estate Finance, Accounting, and Tax? Chip Nalon.
We'll start with primary residences. I touched on it before, but while there's certainly a convenience factor to renting, when you own your own home, every time you make a mortgage payment, you are paying down the balance of the loan. And by doing that, you're building your wealth or your equity ownership in that home. So that's one way that owning real estate builds wealth. The second way is looking at long-term property appreciation. So in fits and starts over time, home values in a well-analyzed market will increase in value, building your wealth as well. So that loan amortization or paying down your mortgage or what you owe to the bank increases your wealth. The gradual appreciation of your home increases your wealth. So that's looking at it from a primary residence perspective. You can pay your, and this is simplified terms, but you can make your housing payment to a landlord in the form of rent every month, or you can make it to the bank and paying down your mortgage and owning that property, building wealth through increasing the ownership of your home. when you look at rental properties, you amplify that wealth building by having those same elements of long-term property appreciation and paying down your mortgage and increasing your ownership, but also getting that increased cash flow of the cash you take in as opposed to the cash you take out each month with a tenant occupying your home. And there are a bunch of considerations I talk to you to do that correctly so that you do in fact have a solid cash reserve and you don't find yourself on the hook. And with that said, I'll make an absolute plug. I mentioned earlier, I don't believe building wealth with real estate should be mysterious. So every financial model, every Excel spreadsheet I reference in my book, I include a URL directly underneath it where readers can go to my website and download that model for free. Play along with it as they read the book, and then more importantly, apply it to their own financial situation. So regardless of whether you're looking at buying your own home, a rental property, or an apartment building, there are models that let you plug your specific variables in and determine, is this a sound financial decision or not? But each individual needs to look at that. Across the spectrum, though, whether you're building wealth through your own home or through rental properties, as long as you do the correct due diligence, as long as you properly analyze the deal, you will be building wealth in long term. Now, I'd like to differ that between short-term approaches. So I am not a house flipper. I buy into the long-term buy and hold approach with real estate. And I think a good analog is looking at short-term gains in the stock market. I see more speculating because it's so contingent upon near-term valuations. Whereas if you hold money in stocks in the long-term, history says you're going to build wealth. Similarly, in real estate, if you're looking for a short-term gain, that takes it out of your control and you're contingent upon market conditions, which can go up and down significantly. Whereas you look at real estate as a long-term gain, you will build wealth as long as you properly analyze the deal.
We're learning a great deal from the author of the new book, The Investor's Guide to Real Estate Finance, Accounting, and Tax, A Journey from First Homes to Multifamily Developments. The author is Chip Maurice L. Nalon IV, CPA, and he's in Richmond, Virginia. He grew up in Buffalo from a prominent family in business, the Nalon family. If you're listening in Amherst, New York, Toronto, or Washington, D.C., drop us a note. We'd like to hear from you. Please write to Brian Rusk, Bet AM 1520, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Buffalo, New York, 14226. A little bit more information about Chip Nalon, our guest today. As Chip completed his time in the Marines, Chip Nalon returned to school and received bachelor's and master's degrees in accounting. Continuing his real estate journey that began in the military, he began work as an asset management accountant at a leading development, construction, and property management firm in Richmond, Virginia. After his tenure at this firm, Chip earned his CPA and launched Walutz Capital. Our guest today on the Rusk Report. Again, tell people how they can buy your book, Chip Nalon.
The best bet for purchasing it, Brian, is on Amazon, where readers can pick up a paperback or a Kindle version. And then related to the book itself, I mentioned access to the financial models. They can go to my website, walutzcapital.com, and that's where they can download the chapter-specific financial models that I referenced that book. I really enjoy talking about real estate, so you touched on it before. Part of my firm's focus is my own development work, and then the other part is consultations with clients. And on the website, listeners are able to book a consultation. So if you have questions on anything from buying your first home to buying a rental property to pooling capital with other investors and buying an apartment building, I'm always happy to sit down and talk in a consultation. It's really what I enjoy about real estate, is being able to talk to others about it and help people avoid a lot of the mistakes I made and other investors made along the way.
Very good. Chip Nalon, you talked about financial models referenced in the book, The Investor's Guide to Real Estate finance, accounting, and tax. Let's talk about more about the different financial models and how this can help an investor in either a first home or multifamily development.
For the models looking at buying a primary home, it helps to understand how lenders underwrite or approve a loan. So when you're buying your own home, what you're really considering is, what can I afford to buy? And that doesn't involve any rental income or operating expenses, because as a primary residence, there inherently aren't any income and operating expenses. So the models analyzing affordability for a first deal, you're looking at how a bank assesses your creditworthiness as a borrower. So it really breaks down two items, so your debt-to-income ratio and the loan-to-value on a certain home. So what income do you have coming in every month? What recurring debts do you have, whether it's student loans, car payments, medical bills? And looking at all of that, how much cash do you have left over to put towards your mortgage? So that's the model really looking at buying your own home. When you start looking at investment properties, as a single family home investment property, it's a similar analysis per the lender, but they're adding the effect of that rental income that's going to be generated by that property. Then lending wise, there's a break between how lenders consider analyzing a loan if you have a rental property or up to a fourplex, and then if you're buying an apartment building with five or more units. Once you get into five or more units, the lenders consider that commercial financing. So rather than analyzing your ability to repay based on your total income and your personal situation, what they look at is the income, expenses, and the net operating income generating by the property itself. So if the property generates enough income after expenses, so a metric known as net operating income in real estate, that's what determines the loan size that you can be approved for. So that's the big jump from going from personal lending, where lenders are analyzing your own ability to repay, to commercial financing, where they're looking more specifically at the income generated by the asset itself. So the multifamily property, the warehouse, the office, whatever asset class that is.
Let's talk about conducting a financial analysis for purchasing a home. I'm sure it's in your book, Real Estate Finance, Accounting and Tax. Our guest, Chip Nalon. Let's talk about the financial analysis, please.
Yeah, the first thing you have to do, and what I advise anyone looking at a home, is don't look at a home before you've confirmed the financing. It's a surefire way to have your heart broken. So before even looking at real estate, you want to do your internal financial analysis. So what is your financial snapshot? And that's really looking at that debt to income. So what is your W-2 income or your self-employment income or your whatever it is? What cash is coming in every month that you can document? What cash is going out every month on a recurring basis? So I talked about it for student loans, car loans, anything that a lender says you have to pay this cash every month. The difference, what you're left over with, leads to what's called your debt to income ratio. And that's what a lender is going to use to say, we are going to allow you to borrow up to a debt to income ratio of say it's 40%. So I provide those models. So instead of relying on the black box of what a lender tells you, you can use the models in my book to say, what is my debt to income ratio? And by extension, what can I afford to purchase when we look at both interest rates and other variables, the loan type. So the amortization is a 30 years or 15 year loan. So the models I provide let you analyze your own financial situation and then extrapolate that to, pending certain market conditions like interest rates, what can I afford to buy with my unique financial situation? And that's really something that I advocate people do on their own so that they have buy-in and a vested interest. Because you certainly can go to a lender and say, hey, here's my financial situation, tell me what I can afford. I absolutely prefer the model where you have a stake and understand what you are doing. So you build that model on your own, or in the case of the models I provide, use the models I provide, input your own information so you know what you can afford, so you have that vested interest. Each chapter of my book is another, what I call, step in the real estate journey. So it starts with buying your own home. Then we look at, what if we have a spare bedroom and we rent that out, start generating income? And then we go to, what if I'm willing to move and I want to convert my primary home into a rental? So I recommend readers don't look at this as individual chapters, but more a building block approach, where the more you learn about real estate financing, buying your own home, the better you are moving forward in the rest of your real estate investing journey. So that's why I recommend that readers or anyone interested in real estate really dive into the models and understand how the bank is making certain decisions, because that builds their real estate education foundation. So the building blocks moving forward to building wealth with real estate.
Sorry, we have to bring the Rusk Report to a close. We've been learning a great deal from the author, Chip Nalon. His first book, which we featured on this program, is The New Ministry of Truth, Combat Advisors in Afghanistan and America's Great Betrayal. His new book that is out now, and you can get it on Amazon, is by Chip Nalon, Maurice L. Nalon, the fourth CPA. The book is The Investor's Guide to Real Estate, Finance, Accounting, and Tax. We urge all our listeners who are interested in buying a first home or then switching to multifamily development to get this book by Chip Nalon. Thank you for enlightening us. We wish all of our listeners to the Rusk Report in 17 states and much of Canada a very happy New Year's wish.
You've been listening to The Rusk Report, a program that takes an inside look at the Western New York community with news, features, and special guests. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Brian Rusk, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.